John and Lance.
I think we talked about this. The number of old people snorting cocaine now?
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Del, clear the phone. Are they clear? Phone lines clear? Okay. So, here is the question. Name the two people on the collector's firearms commercials.
Ooh, good question.
Name the two people. 7378-03776. If you're paying close enough attention, you're going to the listener appreciation party.
They've said their names before.
Yeah, because, Del, like, you don't know.
Just in the latest Met commercial.
I thought you would know. I've heard them, certainly.
I just never remember their names. I'm bad at that. So the first caller who gets it.
Yep.
Okay. Well, let me know. Send it over, and we'll get that going.
Yeah. I sent it to you.
Got it.
Tristan?
No, it's not. No one named Tristan. Old collector's firearms.
Okay.
Or any firearm.
713-780-3776. Name the two people. All right. They're famous. That commercial, is you identify this radio station with that commercial.
It's an infamy.
It is. So there you have it. So whoever is listening close enough is going to come to the listener appreciation party. Marlon Klein looked good. Ramsey's interception was nice, right? Jared Wayne looked nice. What about the offensive line? We got the backups that are
right.
You know, the offensive line looked good on the first drive. It was a little disheartening that on fourth and one you can't run the football, but okay, they didn't do that. Noah Whittington looked pretty good. Graham Mertz was looking okay before the injury.
He actually was.
Yeah. What else did we have? Did you? Is there anything
well,
else?
Well, so actually, in watching like the backup offensive line actually did a pretty decent job of moving the Rams around a little bit. You know, your secondary. I thought you gave up too many. You gave up too many throws in the middle of the field. I didn't think the backup linebackers played well. I didn't think they got good depth on their drops and pass coverage. I didn't think they were doing a very good job with run defense. They had a couple moments, but I thought they needed to play better. Caden McDonald was very average yesterday in his initial debut, but that's not unusual. I think he just was – it's one of those things where, remember now, he's just – I think he just turned 21. He just kind of engaged blocks the next game. Now that he's got one under his belt, I want to see him attack blocks and get rid of them, you know. Play with a little bit more ferocity at the point of attack is what you want to see. Braden Smith, I thought, was okay. He was fine. Keelan Rutledge didn't get into any fights, was not ejected for many games, did not get a five-minute major penalty that led to a power play for the Chargers.
That was good. Good, no power plays.
That was good. No power plays for the Chargers. Chargers did beat the Texans up. As a matter of fact, D'Amico Ryans was asked about Texans' brand of football, right? So he was asked by D'Amico, "Coach, you talk about playing Texans' brand of football today. What did you see?"
The style of play that I wanted to see, I wanted to see us play physical, right? And I did not see that the entire game. There were some glimpses of us playing physical, but the Chargers, they out-physicaled us the entire game, right? So it was not our brand of football. When I speak of playing our style, that's a physical brand of football, and that was not up to par tonight.
And that's the thing. We don't care that much about third stringers. They're not going to be here. A coach always, for as long as we've been doing this, John, every coach in a preseason game, it's not like they blow off like, you know, these are just guys that want to make the roster. Every coach, just like D'Amico, we did not play physical enough today.
Mm-hmm.
And we did not. It matters to them. The third quarter, the fourth quarter mattered. And they got beat, 14-0 in the fourth? To D'Amico, he still wants to. You're on his team. He's coaching you. He wants to see you perform to a certain standard of physicality, and he didn't see it. And he's going to call it out. And so there you have it. Now, next game, we'll see how many reps the offensive line gets. You'll see if they go two. I'd like to see them go a quarter, John. Let's get the starting offensive line. Let's keep them in there for a quarter. You did have a couple long drives, so I'm not. I think you barely possessed the ball in the second quarter, other than that first drive. But I'd like to see the offensive line get a few more snaps in the next game.
Yeah.
And with Graham Mertz out for the year with an ACL tear, likely out for the year, does that go into rocket C.J. Stroud into starting snaps this week? Maybe he was going to get them anyway. Do we C.J. Stroud see him play now?
I don't know that that affects that. I think they bring somebody in and takes Mertz's place. He's gonna have to ramp up right away, though, to learn the playbook in a hurry for next Thursday. Mm-hmm. But I think C.J. needs to play anyway. This is the game, I think. The second to last game has historically been the game that you play your starters most, and this is the second to last preseason game. They won't play at all in the third game. It'll be all Davis Mills.
Well, we'll see. They got a joint practice with the Raiders, and those have taken importance away from the preseason games. So that's Tuesday, next Tuesday. So if he plays quite a bit and D'Amico sees the work he wants, he may not play him. Some coaches value that more than they do a preseason game.
That's true. That is true. We'll see. I would love, but see, he's not getting hit in those, and he knows he's not getting hit in those.
Yeah, that's true.
So, not the game action, the live bullets, that's kind of a big deal, I think. I don't know. We'll see.
I think I found why the joint practice is a bigger deal. It's open to fans, and with the ticket, you get to be part of Cal's cookout.
Oh, man. You have to pay for Cal's burgers at the stadium, but Cal makes you burgers at the practice?
They're calling it Cal's cookout.
Wow.
Now I know. I'm glad I got the week off now. I know where I'm going to be.
Oh, sweet.
Get myself one of Cal's burgers. You think
you're going to line up overnight?
I'm going to tell Cal he listens to a show I'm on. Hopefully that means I don't have to wait in line. He said he has told Lance he listens to the show. So I hope that's an in for me that I can.
He told me twice. He made a point of telling me twice that he listens.
If you walk up to him and say, "Hey, Cal, how are you?" He'll know right away that voice.
That's unlikely, but
you have a distinct voice.
But I think he'll be confused and not realize that.
What's the confusion?
You think you're going to confuse
What's
him?
What's the confusion, Dad?
I don't think he's going to realize who this voice belongs to. So when I walk up, he's going to be a little perplexed.
Okay.
Should I wear a shirt?
All you got to do is do this. ESPN do your horns, and you'll get your burger.
I'm not doing that. I'm not a.
I really want a hamburger now. This is day three of juicing for me, and I really want a hamburger.
Cal's culture isn't my costume.
A Cal's cheeseburger. And you know, I think he gets his hamburger. I don't know this for a fact, but I know Michael Cruz, the butcher at Pete's Fine Meats, he gets steaks from stuff from over there. Mm-hmm. Michael goes and delivers to his house. He did like 3 Wagyu briskets a few months back. So he might be using those tri-blend burgers, John.
So this has been going on since at least 2022, Cal's cookout. It's supposed to celebrate the final day of training camp. At least that's what it was when it originated. I'm not sure of open practice of training camp. Excuse me. So I think, do we get fries? Because I know John is upset if you don't get fries.
I don't think they have a fryer out there at 100-degree temperature.
Well, you have a grill out there.
You ain't frying. They're not going to have a deep fryer.
Well,
all you need to do is put the oil out there.
Yeah, what's the difference? You're grilling.
You put the oil out there outside, and it'll cook itself.
They're not frying. They'll have chips.
Chips?
Potato salad. It's cookout. You have potato salad.
I don't want hot potato salad.
You have potato salad with raisins in it.
Out there in that heat?
Yeah, you have a carrot salad.
Kill everybody?
You trying to have everyone sick? Mayo? You have a carrot salad. In the heat? No. Get out of here.
No, it's a mustard. We're Texas. It'd be a mustard potato salad.
I don't like that either.
Oh, that's terrible.
No, it's not terrible. What are you talking about?
I don't like mustard or mayo.
Mayo. It's not even arguable.
Mustard. You're not from here. You're from Los Angeles. You're not from here. You're from L.A. That's what y'all doing there. A bunch of Mayo boys out there.
You're a Mayo boy?
Why y'all selling a Mayo boy?
Mayo boy.
Girl,
can
stop.
Can we call him Mayo boy?
We changed the group text name.
Not Glory Boy stays. But now I didn't know what I was going to do on Tuesday. Now I know.
Now you know?
Cal's cookout.
I isolated 3 quarterbacks. Jimmy Garoppolo, Brett Rippon, and Trevor Siemian. Those are the 3 that I think.
Trevor Siemian.
Siemian started 30. Yeah, he's 34 years old. It's not going to be Ritter or Pavia. These guys have to prove they can learn a NFL playbook. Simeon's got 33 career starts. He could function as a QB3. Obviously, Jimmy Garoppolo could, and Brett Rippon could. All three of those guys. And Rippon was there in 23.
Kaylee has experience with Rippon.
Kaylee had Garoppolo in New England at 15, 16, and then he had him again with the Rams. So he's had, and he was a coach on the staff at Eastern Illinois when Jimmy Garoppolo was there. So he's actually been on teams with Jimmy Garoppolo three different times.
But do you think Garoppolo will take a third string?
I mean, it just depends on if he wants money. And you know what? Here's why he could. He might say Texans could be a playoff team. I get a Super Bowl ring. I could potentially get a Super Bowl ring and playoff shares. So maybe. Yeah.
Maybe.
Depends on his quality of life. Depends on quality of life. You know, we have a relatively mild winter. So he can, you know, he's not going to like it too much this month or next month or really most of October. But where does he live? He probably lives somewhere nice, too.
Probably. I mean, he's made tens of millions of dollars, right?
Yeah. He's from Arlington Heights, but I don't know where he lives. But, yeah, it would be a matter of, you know, his agent could say, look, you're one injury away from being a backup, or the Texans would keep you on the active roster so that you can keep getting your paychecks, or we'll get it guaranteed for this year. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo would probably be your best option. That'd be your best option. It'd be kind of your own Joe Flacco option, really. And the Bengals kind of caught, well, first the Browns. Joe Flacco came out of retirement, came off the couch, I should say, for the Browns, and he's parlayed that into a backup role with the Bengals and had an unbelievable Thursday night game last year. Jimmy Garoppolo would be my first choice. Rippon would be the second, and then Trevor Siemian. It's really just Jimmy Garoppolo, and then you got a couple other dudes is kind of how I look at that. But I don't think with a team that has the hopes and dreams that you have as the Texans, I don't think you take this lightly. Because this player is also going to have to take snaps in the preseason. So, and probably a few snaps. Not so much in practice, but in the preseason, you're going to have somebody with NFL experience who can just step in and play a whole half, at least a whole half, for probably two games, maybe even three quarters of the last game.
You got to ramp up in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
Yeah, so somebody who knows how to learn an NFL, you know, who already knows NFL passing concepts would be best, and that's going to be guys like Garoppolo, Wolford, Rippon, maybe Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Clayton Tunes out there on the streets, Jake Haener, who played for the Saints. What?
What we got to look at is the promo for Cal's Cookout that we just got sent.
Is it real?
No, but okay. It's funny. Cal's dressed up like a Burger King.
No,
he is.
He has the crown on.
He has a crown on.
He's the king of burgers.
He has Cal's Cookout on the crown.
Home of the Cal Burger.
No. Cal listens to the show.
This is kind of dope. It says Cal's Cookout. It's got his own logo on it,
branding and all. He looks majestic, actually.
He actually does.
This actually isn't insulting. He looks majestic.
He actually does.
He looks like an old English king.
Well, he looks like the very first one, the very first king before where the Ned. Oh,
that's Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but Ned Stark.
Actual English kings.
Well, but Ned Stark. What do you mean? That's a real historical time.
No, it's not.
When they had dragons.
You mean he looks like Robert witches. Baratheon?
Back in the
is
day
what
when
saying?
They had dragons.
Yes, he looks like a Robert Baratheon.
You know how
kind of.
Yep.
You got mean that cape over drunkard who cheated on his wife all the time?
Well, I mean, I didn't say he acts like Robert Baratheon, but he's got the, you know, the barrel chest of a Robert Baratheon.
He does. He really does. He looks majestic.
He really, this is actually a great picture. I'd say, listen, can you do this again, but maybe.
But not have me holding a giant burger?
Yeah, this looks too much. It's too easy to tell I've got Burger King. You've used Burger King.
Yeah, it looks.
Can you change the color scheme or something?
Even the restaurant behind just looks like a Burger
King. It looks like a Burger King. And it's clearly Dustin's done this with AI.
Yeah.
He needs to just type into his AI, make it look less like a Burger King.
Yeah, that would help. But
send that in.
But other than that, it is maybe one of the.
And I don't know about holding a cup, a paper cup that says Cal's Cookout, because that gives it a fast food
possibly.
Scepter would be not. Yeah.
Or
a goblet, know, some type of something. Stein, a stein or a goblet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cal is a.
This is something we can work with,
a
though.
Boutique burger, I mean, place.
Somebody went to Dustin went to great
he just
lengths
in a
on
couple
this.
Prompts through AI.
Yeah, AI much. Can do amazing things.
Yeah.
Make Cal. Here's a picture. He'll just enter a picture of Cal and have him holding a burger and fries in front of a Burger King, but have it say Cal's Cookout. That's all he's got to do.
Didn't
That's
take
it.
Much.
It makes it look. AI makes it look like you've done amazing
it looks
work.
Great.
It really, this is really fantastic.
It's really good.
AI is going to take over all of us soon.
It's taking over the world.
Those companies like Spotify and others are kind of reducing their AI because people are pushing back. People don't want to use their stuff.
No. Yeah, you're right.
Well, my wife refuses to hear. She doesn't even want to hear you talk about AI. I mean, there are some who are, you know, who's not stopping? The U.S. government and China's,
your wife
Chinese
reads
government.
The books all day.
I know.
Goodness gracious,
she
AI.
Well, you know what, Substack? You know what's, well, that's why she doesn't want to go to any of that stuff. She deleted her social media.
She
She's
won't
trying
even
to,
watch shows. She reads
I know.
Books.
She reads book and doesn't have social media.
Terrible. Terrible.
She's trying to get back.
No social media.
Here's
you
what
don't
we
know
talk
what's
about.
Going on in the world.
Social media, half
on.
Of what you get in the world is already filtered through a bunch of bull crap anyway.
Mm.
Through a bunch of filters that they want you to hate other people. That's most of social media. Is what can I do to make you hate someone? It's sports, it's politics, it's anything. How can I make you hate this person?
Everything.
And fights and butts.
You know how
that last one's not.
You know
so
who
bad.
We really love is Robin over at Houston Powder Coaters.
She's not fighting That's anybody
really
on social
love.
Media.
All right, we're not talking about hate.
No.
We're talking about the number one powder coater in the world, in the history of the world. Houston Powder Coaters. This is a great time with the pools closing. Now schools have opened, so the pools, the community pools are closed. Great time for you to get your furniture, your pool furniture, to Robin to coat for next year. And you say, well, we don't open again until do it now, okay? Because you got the holidays coming up, all right, which they're going to be packed because everybody's going to want their patio furniture ready for the holidays, right? You want to get that done. So maybe that if you're somebody that, you know, you're going to have people over for Thanksgiving, you're going to have people over for Christmas, now is the time to get them that stuff. They'll pick it up and deliver it back to you absolutely free. That doesn't cost you a dime. And it takes some time because they prep, primp, they do an unbelievable job to make sure that every job is perfect, is done perfectly, and that powder coating is going to last for a lifetime. You're looking for the best way to get whatever it is powder coated. You need to do this. Anything metal, HoustonPowderCoaters.com, HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Tell Robin you heard it right here. Who knew the answer to the question, Del? The Danny and Clara question.
Yes, by the way. I was the only one who didn't know that answer. Jairus, on the first call, will go. He wins, so he joins us at the Listener Appreciation Party. Jairus.
Good job. Jairus?
Jairus, yes.
Okay, cool. Nice. Way to go. Danny and Clara on the commercials, on the Collector's Firearms. The most iconic commercial we have.
Handcuffed.
Maybe ever had. Yeah. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5, Del, I put in Bill Barnwell, and it's something that it pains me to say. Bill Barnwell agrees with you on this. We feel like this offensive line is going to be better, right?
Yes.
Lance?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. We feel like this has got a chance to be a better offensive line than we saw. It was bad 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
got a little bit better last year,
mm-hmm.
and now we feel like the addition of Keelan Rutledge, Wyatt Teller, Braden Smith.
Yeah.
You know, we never talk about Evan Brown. Did we ever talk about him?
No, we don't talk about him.
No.
This does not matter. It's how they play. But watching all five of them out there, they ain't get off the bus types.
You ain't scared?
They ain't get off the bus
types.
You
know what's funny is they're supposed to be, though. Wyatt Teller, Braden Smith is definitely one.
He's got this.
It's a real block build,
and the legs look a little thin. Like
it's not thin legs. He squats.
I didn't say he's not part of the little big leg crew. I'm not saying that, but you know, I don't know how proportionate it is.
He's not a long arm for being so thick chested, and his muscle mass. He has short arms, so it makes him look kind of sawed off.
Like that offensive line would never impress the Georgia fans because you just talk about specimens.
Georgia Bulldogs?
Yeah, yes.
They've had some sloppy guys out there. Some of them are getting
off the bus types, like, yeah. What was it, Mims, that guy?
Yeah, Mims, and then they've actually had a few that
they had a tight end that
looked apart.
Yeah.
Darnell Washington.
I watched them.
Holy crap.
Yeah, he's 300 pounds.
I watched them line up, and I'm like, I'm glad they could protect Davis Mills. You know, the in around or Jets motion to Hutchinson. Cool. Got that going. I hope they play better than they look in uniform. That's all.
What are you talking about? They look
better
in uniform.
Imposing.
What's his name from
Rutledge
State? Juice. Juice Scruggs looked the part. He looked the part.
I
think Braden Smith looks the part. Yeah. Wyatt Teller looks the part.
Looks like Tarzan.
You guys are being disrespectful.
I looked at him in the uniform. I thought to myself, I hope they play better than they look in that uniform.
They look great in the
uniforms. Oh, stop already. Keelan Rutledge looked like a beast.
What if they were wearing? No, what if they had Gucci belts on? Would that make it better?
None of it matters.
The old O-line did?
None of it matters. I'm just talking
play
about
well.
That's what I said to start.
You said you wanted to look good.
No, I didn't. I said it doesn't matter.
Pre-game and their fits
in
with
their
Instagram?
In their uniforms.
Okay.
How did they walk in the stadium? What were they wearing?
I didn't even see one pre-game fit for the offensive line. Do we even have an NFL offensive line now?
Do we even have somebody?
Not according to Bill Barnwell.
We don't have anybody that cares about
fits. What did
Bill
Barnwell say?
Here's Bill Barnwell on the Texans O-line.
Not only is they haven't had those starters, and they've consistently kind of had turnstiles replacing players. It's not like we're sitting here like, oh man, they finally figured this out. They traded for Joe Tooney. They signed a superstar center. Like they signed Tyler Linderbaum. No, they used a first round pick on Keelan Rutledge, which is great. But like Wyatt Teller got benched with the Browns last year. Braden Smith is in his 30s. Trent Brown, who they brought back, wasn't even active for most of the season. Aaron Tyersery was an okay rookie left tackle. It wasn't like he was a superstar by any means. Like, there's a reasonable chance we are sitting here 12 months from now saying, well, Texans replaced three more offensive linemen. I don't think that's done. And you mentioned David Montgomery, and yes, in a vacuum, I think he's a better running back than Woody Marks and what was left of Nick Chubb or Joe Mixon the year before. But, like, he's going from one of the three or four most advantageous situations in football when it came to running, especially with Ben Johnson there the prior 2 years, to a situation that's been horrific where guys have not been able to move the football, where they rank, I think, 28th, 31st, and 31st in success rate on the ground in CJ Stroud's 3 seasons. So are we really sure the running game is going to be significantly better? And if those things both are not any better, why should we expect CJ Stroud to improve?
Yeah, I mean, there's also
pessimistic approach.
Yes. Now, the facts he laid out were not wrong.
No.
You had a Wyatt Teller was benched. I mean, he's not the same guy he was. People got so excited about the name, but he was not the same player. He wouldn't be available. Braden Smith would not have been available.
No, but he's excited again. He's away from Cleveland. Did they take your will to play away?
That shouldn't be discounted.
No, it's not. I'm serious about that. When you're on a crappy team, no, you're not going to do anything. You're going to be crappy
all
the time.
You're never going to win. You're always going to lose. Yeah. It's always going to be dysfunctional. There's something to be said for getting out of there. With that said, it's still a position where you have to have a certain amount of quickness, a certain amount of bend. Physically, you have to move well. You have to a certain amount of strength. So we'll see. We'll see how he plays. I'd rather take my chances with a benched Wyatt Teller. I'd even take Wyatt Earp. I'd take my chance with a bench Wyatt Teller and a 30-year-old Braden Smith. I don't love the average of 6 games missed per year over the last 3 years, but I'd take my chances with those guys and a re-signed Ed Ingram and a rookie. And Ursary was fine for a rookie left tackle. He was fine. Even that collection that he just painted, they still have a chance to be better than last year at running a football. As a matter of fact, I'd be surprised if they don't run the football better.
Boy,
number one, starts with running backs. Less Nick Chubb, more David Montgomery.
It sure would be nice to not have three new offensive linemen next year.
But Nick is going to have to address this. This idea that you just keep filling in with one-year and two-year contracts, then you're constantly in Band-Aid mode and you get no continuity from your offensive line.
In fairness, though, Ed Ingram, they gave him a one-year deal and then they re-signed him for more. I mean, if Wyatt Teller plays well, I could imagine them giving him two more years.
See, Wyatt Teller, to me, will probably be a one-year guy. I think you're going to be looking for a new guard next year. Because at some point, you're going to have to be drafting your next starting right tackle and your next starting left guard. Because you got your starting left tackle and your starting center.
So
you have to get you want guys to play together at least 3 years in a row, right?
Boy, if they use another first-rounder on an offensive lineman...
Well, you can get a starter in the second or third round.
Yeah.
Now, at tackle, you might be drafting tackle first round.
Yeah. I mean, but hopefully they're drafting really late.
Yeah, I mean, would you rather have Braden Smith and Trent Brown again? I think I'd rather have a new starting right tackle.
Well, I don't know. I'm hoping they're drafting really late. And
yeah.
There won't be a great tackle available really late.
That's the price you pay. But Nick also isn't afraid to trade up.
Yeah, well,
he did it for Keelan Rutledge.
Yeah,
he moved up for Keelan Rutledge, so he's not afraid to move around. He tried to do it the year before, as well, and was unable to. And I think that was for Donovan Jackson from Ohio State. So, I do think that everything we think is going to be true. The running game will be better. To what extent, we'll see. But I also think it's true that you only have two core offensive linemen on there right now: your left tackle and your rookie center. And those guys have one guy's played no years and one guy's played 1 year. The rest are fill-in guys. Ed Ingram will find out if he's going to be ultimately better as a Texan than a Viking. I certainly hope so. He certainly was last year. But it's not untrue to say Wyatt Teller is probably not your long-term solution at guard. Braden Smith is not your long-term solution at right tackle. So, yeah, you could. Now, maybe you get two out of Wyatt, and that'd be great. Maybe you draft a right tackle next year, and that tackle sits in the first and second round, and that tackle battles with Braden Smith for a role, and if he doesn't get it, he starts off as a swing tackle. Maybe that happens, but I don't know if he knows how the Texans couldn't run the ball last year. Like, Bill Belichick's a smart guy. This offensive line, for whatever holes you think they have, I have a hard time believing they don't run the ball better this year. But what he said is true, and we've said this too. If you don't run it better, I'm not sure on CJ. And here's what you didn't see, John. Were you still watching, Dell, when they interviewed CJ on the sideline?
Well, we have the sound of that.
Okay.
I saw it. No, I saw it this morning.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't seem excited.
He looked disinterested.
Extremely disinterested. Short answers.
Yeah.
And...
Well, she threw him for a loop at the very first question about working out with Jaden in L.A., working out with a couple of guys he brought to L.A. He was like, hey, what about the your workouts, the building chemistry? And he goes, in L.A.? She goes, yeah. Which had really nothing. So that was a long time ago, but neither here nor there.
Well, he didn't love that, and then he didn't love the Marlon Klein. He basically said, yeah, Marlon was lying. Here, play
yeah.
Do you have the right. whole thing where he just, yeah, Marlon told us it, and he goes, yeah, I didn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, let's just end this interview. CJ doesn't want to do
so
this.
Funny
this is making me feel.
To listen to you two talk about it, because I saw someone else go, CJ's about that business. I love it. It's just so funny how people read things.
I don't think CJ wanted to be.
All I said is he was disinterested.
Yeah, I don't think
there's
he really.
No question he was not interested in this interview.
He wasn't smiling or having a good time with
it.
No.
Got it.
I think he just wanted to get it done and let's move on.
Yep. I mean, yeah. And so
if you want to say he's about that business and it shows he's locked in, that's fine. That's fine. He's still got to complete passes, read defenses. That's fine. I don't care.
Here is CJ during the ABC 13 broadcast. Actually, let me pull that up.
By the way,
got it.
Are you working? You got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
UJ, thanks so much for your time. So your wide receivers, Xavier Hutchinson and Jaden Higgins, you all had organized throwing sessions. What did that do for the chemistry with you three?
Going in L.A., you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was fun. Just having the guys out, you know, outside of Houston, showing them around, like, where I grew up, and just, you know, trying to, you know, build chemistry and build connection going into the season.
Your locker is right next to your potential center, Keelan Rutledge. He has started a lot of fire in training camp. What has he done for the offense so far?
He's brought a dog mentality. He's been able to push the guys around him, also push the defense. You know, he's a guy who doesn't care who you are. He's going to go hit you, and he's not going to stop until he hears the whistle. So something that we've been missing and we needed on the line.
You said you won't give away too much, but what can you tell us you've been working on yourself in the offseason?
My mindset is my mental. He's been able to, you know, forget the past and move on.
Going against the best defense in the league every day in practice, how much does that help you when it comes to game time?
Well, it helps you. It gets a little easier going into the games, but, you know, just trying to, you know, compete against those guys, and we've been able to make some plays, too.
How's training camp going with the O-line so far?
It's going great. It's going great.
I heard that your new tight end, Marlon Klein, said you told him he can't wear Michigan shorts anymore in the locker room. How often does that college talk come on?
Never. I didn't say that to him. I don't know.
Maybe he was trying to be funny. But anyways, well, thank you so much for your time. Last question. Did you tell your friends or family you were getting the haircut, or did you let them see going viral on social media?
No, all my family knew. I mean, a lot of my family and friends know me to have my hair like this. It's just the people that I've met over the recent years that, you know.
It's funny, you know, the answers seem pretty standard. When you see the face, you see he's like, he's not smiling. We're used to seeing his personality look different. But I listen to the answers like, it doesn't sound, he doesn't sound disinterested. When you saw the face, it looked a little different. I swear to God, we're not making a big deal about this at all. So don't think we're like, CJ looks disinterested on the side. That's not what this is at all. I think he was just, it's preseason game one. He's on the sideline. He's like, yeah, I'll do this. This is something they have to do. Yep. CJ, we need you to talk to the sideline reporter.
And answer the same questions I've answered all
Tell us about the haircut. Yeah, my people already know this.
Haircut.
Marlon Klein
LA.
Said it. You said he couldn't wear Michigan stuff anymore. I didn't say that. What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe he was just joking.
Yeah, he was joking around. All right, time to talk a little Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Aqueduct Plumbing Company is the, I think... I mean, if you're not using Aqueduct, if you need a plumber, a buddy of mine, he had a plumber. His wife called a plumber, and they came to the house and they gave him. They said she splashes. I've given you this example before, but another plumbing company was like, "Yeah, she splashes around too much. That's why you got water around your bathtub."
She splashes around too much.
He was like, "What?" And then Aqueduct came and they said, "No, I mean they put this in wrong. It's really really poorly done, and it's going to continue to leak." And they gave him a great price. They fixed it. It was a big job, and yet he said, "I couldn't be happier."
Dude, who are you hiring? Like seriously, who are you hiring? And who works for the people you're hiring? Who are the plumbers? And what kind of experience do they have? And you know, how long have they worked there? It's the same guys. It's the same guys over there for. There's a bunch of crews. It's the same guys, and they do great work, and they're transparent. They don't charge you to come out and tell you what's wrong, and they don't tell you that your wife is splashing around too much, or your kids are pushing water out of. Well, they're drinking out of the faucet. That's probably what's going on. No, you get actual results with Aqueduct Plumbing.
Yeah, 281-488.
Houston's independent voice.
281-488. 281-488-6238. 281-488-6238.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Just over an hour left, hour and 14 minutes. So get in, 713-780-3776. Danielle Hunter, number 23 on the NFL Top 100 list. Is Danielle Hunter better than Stingley, Derek Stingley?
I mean, they're about even to me. Super productive, though. All a dude does is get sacks.
He does. He had 15 last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was third in the league?
Yeah, it was way up there.
Yeah.
Danielle Hunter is looking at him statistically because, like, he's just constantly in double-digit sack mode.
Is he going into the hall as a Viking or a Texan?
with Texan, obviously.
Yeah.
Look at this. Over the last 7 years, his sack totals 14-5, 14-5, 6, but that was he only played 7 games in 2021. So he had 6 in 7 games. 10-5, 16-5, 12 and 15. That's sick. That is sick. His second year he had 12 and a half sacks his second year. And he was a guy who came out of LSU who was really raw. Like, he was raw. His special teams coach, Thomas McGahey, T-Mac, who actually lives here. We need to get him on the show sometime. I remember asking him about him when I was writing him up, because that was the very first year I did write-ups for the NFL. And T-Mac said, you got to watch Hunter on special. I was talking to him. He goes, Hunter is unbelievable on special teams. He runs down like a wild maniac. He's a stallion. He said, Lance, I'm telling you, he's not even close to who he's going to be as a pro. And he was right, and he became that pretty quickly with the Minnesota Vikings. But, dude, 14 and a half sacks, 14 and a half sacks, 6 sacks in 7 games, 10 and a half, 16 and a half. And with the Texans, he's had 12 and 15. So, yeah, out of respect, I think you have to put Hunter ahead of Danielle Hunter ahead of Stingley. Just out of pure respect. The dude's 31. He just finished, you know, knocking down 15 sacks.
Who's left?
For Nico? The Texans?
Is Nico left?
No. We already did Nico, didn't we?
We did Nico. Then it's Will Anderson Jr. That's it?
Yeah. Unless Kamari Lassiter's in there.
No, he's not in there.
So I don't understand this. So Kamari Lassiter is not in the top 100, but Bryce Young is. Like, yeah. I must have missed him. Nico Collins is 58th.
58.
Yeah.
Stingley 24 is Max Crosby. 23 is Danielle Hunter. So the only one left is
Okay, wait a minute. I was wrong. Well, no. Pete Prisco's got him 94. In the top 100, but he was not named that to PFF has him in their top 101. Yeah, this is disappointing to me that Kamari Lassiter does not hit the NFL's top 100. That's a lot of good players, I get it. But I mean, we're just throwing Bryce Young in there cuz he's a quarterback. Is that all we're doing? Well, Bryce Young's a quarterback, throw him in there. Like, that's a joke that you have him ahead of Kamari Lassiter. Kamari Lassiter is one of the most impactful cornerbacks in the league. And he catches number one. He has to match up on number ones all the time. And you don't have him in the top 100? What?
Yeah.
This is not.
Well, maybe
that's a big oversight.
Does the league know about him? And how many defensive guys are you going to put on there? You've got Azeez Al-Shaair was 92.
Yeah, no offense to Azeez Al-Shaair either.
Yeah.
Who's a better player, John?
Kamar.
What are we doing? Is there just a bunch of – probably you don't have a bunch of linebackers, and you probably have a lot more corners. Maybe that played into it a little bit. But I'm not sure how Kamari Laster's not in the top 100.
Yeah. Nico, 58, like you said. Will Anderson Jr. is the last one that'll be
– Will inside the top 10? If Bryce Young was in the on this list, I gotta imagine the first 9 are quarterbacks. Maybe Drake May, Joe Burrow, Tua.
No, Joe Burrow's 44.
Tua, I would have to think. You know, they're all going to be ahead of Will Anderson based on this list. I mean, Bryce is ahead of Kamari Lassiter, so. I got to think, you know.
That bothers you.
Malik Willis
you've
is probably.
You've mentioned that about 30
Malik's
times.
Probably 17. Yeah, because it's just ridiculous. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It's just, yeah. It does bother. It's just a stupid list. I mean, it's actually a really important list because it came from NFL. But so it's not a stupid list.
It's a stupid
These
list.
Other lists are dumb. This list is actually. What a lot of people, there's two things that players care the most about, and this is actually not a joke. The top 100 list and their Madden ratings. They care so much, and my weaknesses on my scouting reports for them.
Well, yeah, you said you were going to tell us who.
It's Wyatt Teller.
Wyatt Teller's pissed at you.
So Johnny Harris told me, I caught up with Johnny. We talked for the first time in a while. He goes, hey, man, I just want to let you know, Wyatt Teller, he said, Wyatt Teller was mentioning you. I said, what do you mean? And I knew exactly what it would. I knew it had to do a draft. I mean, it had to. And he just said, Johnny just said, oh, let me get it, because I had to send him what I actually wrote. He said, I had him today for our production meeting, because he and Andy Kalu were color commentators. And he said, we were on all kinds of topics, and Andy Kalu asked him about being a fifth-round draft pick and how he got to where he is now. Fifth-round pick, mind you. Something like that. So he goes on for a while, and then he says, then you got guys like Zur, like Lance Zierler, or whatever. I say, Lance Zierlein? He lights up and says, yes, that guy. That guy said I'd be a career backup or something like that. I chuckle and say, well, he's one of my best friends. He had no idea. Then he goes, well, thank him for me, because I was motivated to prove him wrong. Then he goes on to say, Johnny says, I'm dying laughing at this point, but it was so amazing how twisted these guys get from what you or me say about them in a draft space. He said he was cool afterwards and says, tell him I said, hey. And so I pulled up what I said about him to Johnny, and I had him projected to go in the third or fourth round. He went in the fifth. The grade, it automatically says good backup with the potential to develop into a starter. Okay. So I didn't say career backup. And what I said, well, teams will have to figure out why Teller's consistency and effort level dropped drastically in 2016, from 16 to 2017, if they want to draft him. He has the play strength, body control, and hand usage you want from an interior player, but his tape simply wasn't trustworthy this last season. Teller has limitations, but he also has enough in the toolbox to work with. He'll be a fit as a backup with eventual starting potential in a power-based scheme if he can revert to his 2016 form. Nailed him. Sorry, I was exactly right about you, Wyatt.
Sorry, Wyatt.
No, but Wyatt actually was better. He was to his 2016 form. He's been good, better than I expected, and at least for a chunk of his career. I mean, yeah. You know, he's getting to be a little older. But, yeah, that's just another example of guys who, you know, they care a lot about Madden ratings. They care about if they're in the top 100 in their spot, and they really care about anything that I've said about their weaknesses. They also forget what I actually say. They misremember and say, he said I'd be a career backup. Not what I said.
All right, is La Raza still there? La Raza? La Raza, ¿qué pasó?
What's up, Herb?
What's up, Irving?
Orange County Johnny. Give Lance a salchicha.
Nope.
LMC.
Hey, give me some of that salchicha.
Ooh, salchicha.
Hey, give me some of that salchicha.
Para ustedes, gentlemen, good morning. Shortest wait time
in the business.
So, look, okay, I got two things. I'm going to redeem myself from that other day. Okay, I did say the guy's name wrong. His name is Chris. He does go to Stanford University. He's that pitcher, number 33. Look him up.
We did. Dell looked him up.
Stanford University. His name is Chris.
What was his
number
name?
33.
Baseball.
He's a right-handed pitcher.
Dell, what was his name again? Can you say it on the air? You could, right? It wasn't.
No, because he said his name was a different name, so we never found the guy. Now he's saying it's Chris.
Yeah, I said the wrong name. I said Sam. I was saying Sam all the time. I was wrong about that.
I thought you did find him the other day.
Oh, yeah. John, you remember that Navy linebacker?
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's right.
It's this.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's that name with Chris.
Fajot.
Chris Fajot.
Yeah.
Fajot. Yeah. He's Italian.
Oh, it's French. Okay,
it's French,
yeah, for sure. So, look, I had a real question, though, before we go. Johnny, you're the golf expert here, right?
Yes,
one
I am the golf expert.
One of them.
Okay. So I was asleep during the FedEx Cup, but then I woke up to Sam Burns making the hole in one. They let this Steph Curry that shot in there, man. That was crazy, bro.
They what?
Sam Burns made that shot in the FedEx Cup, man.
Yeah,
he had a hole in one.
Yeah, he Steph Curry that shot. You didn't see that? I thought you were the golf expert, my guy.
I didn't see it. No, that's my guy. I took him this week, and my man made a hole in one. Nice. I love that.
Yeah. So what are the odds? Because this is one of the odds Friday, right? What are the odds he comes back and wins the whole thing?
What are the odds that Sam Burns wins the whole damn thing? I think they're good. I think they're, well, it's golf, bro. Okay, he's probably about a 4% chance. You're still going to get great money on winning the whole thing because there's three tournaments he's got to play. So it's a hole in one is nice. It's a long way from winning a tournament. But I love that you actually slept through a golf tournament.
I was taking a nap, but then I heard all the ruckus about Sam Burns. I was like, what is this guy doing?
I like this. I did not have La Raza talking some FedEx Cup with John today on the show. I never woke up expecting this.
I hope to never have it happen again.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love that. Thanks, La Raza. Yeah. Well, a little Sam Burns talk.
Yeah.
I'm really disillusioned now.
You know who's really
talking FedEx Cup golf?
Well, he started off with his Trojan horse.
It's the playoffs, Dell. This is what we fight. This is what we play for.
Who's we?
The golf world.
They play to be in the playoffs in the FedEx Cup?
The FedEx Cup is the playoffs.
Okay, who was the number one seed?
Number one seed was Scottie Scheffler. I mean, honestly, stop. So I'm in second place in my fantasy. I'm in second place in my fantasy, thanks to Sam Burns
fantasy
and Michael
golf.
Kim. What?
Jeez,
yeah,
that's a sad state of affairs.
You are totally. Wow. You're like CJ.
Wow, I treat you, La Raza, and you like that unfortunate interviewer where CJ, where she had to pull things out of CJ to get that minute and a half.
Just a minute and a half. Let's talk about your hair for a second.
It felt like 5 to 10 minutes. Kudos to her for trying. She tried because CJ wasn't looking to give her anything, really.
Nope. No, she worked it. She worked it hard.
Hey, we're going to need a minute and a half from CJ. Go.
That's it.
Yeah. And she got
there.
Hey,
listen. Listen, I didn't hear it. I didn't see it because I was enjoying it. I turned the volume off because I was enjoying a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Whatever you're doing, all right? We had it going on. So while we're watching, what are you going to do? You're going to watch with a Coors Light. You want to be refreshed. It's 100 degrees out there. You need to keep Texas chill right now. I'm doing my part here in L.A., keeping L.A. chill. Keep Texas chill with cold, clean, crisp, refreshing. There is no more refreshing beer in the history of beers. No matter what you're doing, are you going to play today? You playing a little golf? I'm going to. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have a couple cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Lights. I'm not going to limit myself to just a couple. I'm going to say I'm going to have some Blue Mountains today. And if you are going to be out there in this heat, you need, in this economy, you need cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing Coors Light. Everybody needs this weekend to climb on, brother.
ESPN 97.5.